Well, as I mentioned earlier, Happy New Year to you all. Such a great joy it is to enter into a new year in God's grace. And you might think I'm kind of crazy. You're thinking, come on now. New Year's isn't until January 1st. But that's just an arbitrary day on the calendar when people drink way too much and do regrettable things, right? I mean, that's all it is. There's nothing magic about December 31st going into January 1st. There is something wonderful about a new liturgical year. The Lord reaching out to us with His grace, coming to us in surprising and wonderful ways if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. And so that's why I get so excited about the season of Advent. But you might still say, well, okay, so we're starting off a new liturgical year, but we're starting off with the same old stuff, right? Sounds the same as last week. The scripture is pretty similar, right? Well, this is actually by design. It's not by happenstance. As we end any given liturgical year, we naturally look to Christ our King, who will bring all of creation to an end when He comes again in glory. And then as we start a new liturgical year, we anticipate this final coming of our King with great hope. Not with fear, with great hope. And so there's a virtuous cycle. Throughout the entirety of the liturgical year, we're meant to yearn for Christ to come again into our hearts. That's the whole gist of it. But we really emphasize it at the end of the year and beginning. We give it particular emphasis. We are all created to welcome Christ when this definitive event, His final coming, when this takes place. So it's crucial for us to be ready. That's what Jesus has been telling us for weeks now. Be ready. You don't want to be on the other side when this happens. If you're not ready, then you do have reason to fear. But one very important way for us to prepare for this moment is by also recalling Christ's first coming. His first coming is in the flesh, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. During Advent, we straddle both of these comings of our Lord, and the season gradually gives way to His first coming, incarnation and then birth, as Christmas approaches, of course, because that's the whole gist of Christmas. By marveling at this unspeakable gift of God actually becoming fully human, we're drawn deeper into His loving embrace, learning to let go of ourselves and surrender more completely to Him, just as Jesus surrendered completely to our Heavenly Father by taking on human flesh, becoming a helpless baby, and then eventually going to the cross, dying on the cross for us. So yes, the more deeply we enter into these mysteries, the more prepared we are for Christ's final coming. But there's actually one more coming that is even more crucially important for us, and that's Christ coming into our very own hearts. This happens primarily, you guessed it, through the sacraments, beginning with baptism, when He literally comes to live in our hearts. We become part of His body. He becomes part of our being. Of course, He then leads us to regularly celebrate the Eucharist and confession and celebrate the other sacraments as necessary. And from there, He leads us into daily prayer and service to our fellow humans. These are all the ways that Christ comes to us in day-to-day life. If you live this way, then, as I mentioned before, there's no reason whatsoever to be afraid when the end times come. Just as Jesus says in today's gospel passage, you might have noticed it's from Luke. So we're in the year of Luke now. We transition from Mark to Luke with this liturgical year. So Jesus says, when these signs begin to happen, He's talking about people are going to die of fright, all these terrible signs. When these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Not your destruction is at hand. Your redemption is at hand. So don't run away and hide. Don't cower down when the Lord comes calling. Instead, run to Him. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. It's easy to get caught up in the anxieties of daily life, and leads us into carousing, can lead us into drunkenness and various other things. It's easy to fall into that. So be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations and to stand before the Son of Man. Wonderful encouragement from our Lord. In a word, what he's saying is don't get lulled into spiritual slumber, spiritual complacency. Very easy to do. Instead, always be prepared to welcome him into your heart. Always be watchful for him, coming to you in new and surprising ways. He's given you everything you need to stand confidently before him when he comes again. And that's the three-legged stool we talk about all the time. Just mentioned it earlier. Sacraments, daily prayer, and service to our brothers and sisters. So he's given you everything you need. You just need to say yes today and every day and do your best to follow him. Jeremiah's prophecy from today's first reading has indeed come true. God has fulfilled his promise and raised up a just shoot. Jesus is that just shoot who has done what is right and just in the land. And he's taught us how to do the same. And if we live out this justice faithfully in him, that's the only way we can live it out faithfully, is in him, we will be safe and dwell secure, full of his peace and joy. But what exactly is justice? Well, I invite you, just take a look at the cross. This is ultimate justice right there. And it's the very font of true righteousness. True righteousness flows from the side of Christ. You can see the blood and the water coming out right there. That's where justice comes. That justice, and that's where righteousness flows out of it. So justice isn't about getting even. In the Old Testament, we read an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? Well, Jesus shows us the full redemption of justice. That's what it looks like. And so, yes, we often see, you know, Lady Justice, the scales are imbalanced, and things have to come into right balance. But what it does mean is somebody bonks you on the head, you got to go bonk them on the head. That's what we want to do, eye for an eye, right? That's kind of in our brokenness what we want to do. But there's a better path for us that Jesus has laid out. And so justice is about letting go of these desires to get even with people and emptying ourselves out in merciful love to others. That's justice. And this is how we are called to resolve our problems and our differences. Just like Christ did for us. He could smack us over the head with the cross, right? And say, get with it, buddy. But he reaches out in merciful love. And we're called to do the same. So in a word, another one of my favorite phrases, conversion necessarily leads to evangelization. So conversion is welcoming the Lord, readying the way for him in your own heart, and then allowing him to lead you out in service to our brothers and sisters. And a lot of times we frustrate that, but we're meant to allow his grace to flow freely within us. This, brothers and sisters, is how God is redeeming the world, indeed the whole universe, through us. As we're struggling and stumbling and succeeding sometimes, trying to follow him, that's how he redeems the entire universe. That's how he's chosen to make this happen. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. Today's psalmist encourages us all the more to follow God down this very same path. And this is an excerpt from Psalm 25. I encourage you to check it out. It's quite a nice little psalm there. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me, for you are God my Savior, and for you I wait all the day. Notice the great yearning for God here. For you I wait all the day. And also the deep desire to learn from him. Not to teach God about what I want, how I want to do things, but to learn from him and learn how to do things right, to walk in the light of his justice. The psalmist continues, good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. That's us. He guides the humble to justice and teaches the humble his way. So here's justice again, the same justice that we heard about earlier. God is always mercifully reaching out to us sinners. He never ceases to do so. Therefore, follow him with trust and humility. As we heard, it's the humble that learn this path of justice. The prideful ones say, oh, I don't think so, God. I got my own way. Thanks, but no thanks. It's the humble that learn how to walk in this wonderful path. However, as St. Paul reminds us in today's second reading, this isn't merely a one-on-one journey with God. In order to truly be ready for Christ's return, personal conversion must lead you, yes, to evangelization. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, Paul prays. Not love for myself and my will, love for one another and for all, so as to strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father. Now this is justice in action. Okay, friends, the bottom line, don't give in to fear. There's so many things for us to be fearful of, to try to run away from. We get controlled by our fears. It always leads us away from God, into darkness, into sin. So don't go there. Don't give in to the fears. Instead, be vigilant and prepared at all times. Don't let your guard down. Always seek to be just, which we learned that means to be blameless personally, but then also generous in loving others. The two inherently go together. They're inseparable. And this is simply the best way to live. It is fulfilling and, yes, difficult because we have to grapple with the cross, but it's exciting and it's fun living this life in and through the Lord. And he always keeps us on our toes, not because he's a jerk, but we never really know what's coming around the corner if we give ourselves to the Lord. But he doesn't do this to be some kind of, you know, overlord. No, he does it because he doesn't want us to fall into complacency. He knows what happens if we get in a rut and stay there. So he mixes things up. Spiritual blindness so often sneaks up on us. Sins slowly build up over time, and the scales come over our eyes and over our hearts, and we don't even realize that we're being led away from the Lord. That's why he gives us a wonderful season like Advent. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, confession, the whole nine yards, a penitential season. So, brothers and sisters, live your life right, always seeking to look out at the world through Advent eyes, we might say. Eyes always yearning for the Lord to come in new and surprising ways, to enrich you, to transform you, to nourish you. That's what we're meant to do. As I mentioned earlier, there's nothing wrong with Christmas shopping and Santa Claus and snowmen and ice skating and all this kind of stuff. That's good stuff. I'll do some of that stuff too, but that's not what Advent's all about. Christmas starts on Christmas. Up until Christmas, we prepare ourselves for the Lord spiritually. That's our primary objective. And I give you a challenge. I don't remember where this came from. I don't know if I learned about it in seminary, something, maybe shortly after seminary, but it's really good, and I've practiced it, and it's very fruitful. I challenge you to take 10% of what you normally spend on Christmas, on gifts and what decorations and all that kind of stuff. Take 10% of that and give it directly to the poor. And then take the time that you would spend on that 10% and invest that directly in the poor. Service directly to the poor. It's a beautiful gift. And maybe even go big. Maybe go 25%, go 50%. Get really crazy, right? We way overspend on Christmas. You're probably aware of that, that after Christmas, from the 26th up until the 1st, is usually a really big time for returns. There's people, you don't know it, they go and return a lot of the gifts that you give them because they don't need them or they don't like them or whatever. So we way overspend on Christmas. We can give a lot more to the Lord by giving to the poor. And the Lord's never going to leave us hanging. It's not like we're ever going to lose out. It's going to bear beautiful, wonderful fruit. So I encourage you to take this challenge seriously and you won't be disappointed. And now we close, brothers and sisters, with the final prayer that you'll hear at the end of Mass today, which gives us very gentle but very wonderful encouragement to walk this path. May these mysteries, O Lord, in which we have participated, profit us, we pray. For even now, as we walk amid passing things, you teach us by them to love the things of heaven and hold fast to what endures.